There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just saying. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
I have always thought Josh Gordon was a tremendous talent. You know, I've always, in my opinion, I always thought he was the closest thing to Randy Moss when I saw him play. You know, the speed, the athletic ability, his ability to go up and catch the football and make plays on it. Mm-hmm. I thought highly of him as a football player. Now, the other stuff that comes along with Josh Gordon, he's wasted all that talent I heard you guys say it's been 6 years. Having the talent like Randy Moss, he's wasted a ton of money and a chance to change his life, his family's life, and everybody else around him. To me, it's that you don't love football enough to give up all of that other stuff that you're doing.
It's insane. It's insane.
You know? You just don't love it enough if you can't quit doing that. I'll leave that crowd alone, or the extra stuff that you're doing on the side alone, enough to participate in the sport that you're supposed to love enough, you know, to go out and make money doing something you love to do, to play a game.
It's an end around in a reverse to Gordon. Takes the handoff and runs it across the 40, 45 to New England 50. And into the territory of the Patriots, across the 35 to the 33.
Josh Gordon is just toying with people right now. I mean, it's another gear this guy's got. They flip it on the reverse to him. He comes to the backside. You think he's stepping out. Patriots just pull up four
they
guys.
They pulled up, absolutely.
And Gordon picks up an additional 13 yards on.
.5 The Sports Hub. Wait, you just potted that all the way up, baby.
Hot.
Get coming in hot with the rock music. As you know by now, the Patriots required Josh Gordon for a fifth-round pick. If he doesn't play 10 games, they get a seventh-round pick in return. John Wallach is very much against this.
Mm-hmm.
He went on Twitter last night and, much to everyone's delight, said that he thought he had a 10-cent head. Mm. And then people got very mad at him. Lucas, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, so, you know, you're hearing that he might not love football. He might not love football playing for the Browns. He might have pulled all this crap so he can get traded, get to a different team.
Oh, come on, dude. He didn't take 4 years off of football to get traded.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand.
That's someone who's really determined.
I mean, listen, now, is there a point to, or is there any kind of credence you could lend to, maybe he didn't like playing for the Browns, and that's why he kind of started to not make football his focus? Maybe there's something there, but this is a serious problem when it comes to how many.
Unprecedented. Now,
in fairness, a lot of the unprecedented—the reason it's unprecedented—is because the NFL's rules are archaic.
Yeah,
the fact that you suspend someone for an entire year,
I know, but
for weed suspension,
I know that's crazy, and it's—I have no idea why that continues to be a rule. But, I mean, you don't shoot your way out of Cleveland by getting suspended for essentially four years.
No, but is there something to whether, if he's in a different environment, whether he could find more success in making football a priority? Who knows? When you can't ever tell with someone who is an addict.
One of the biggest stars. Well, if you're an addict, you're an addict. I mean, you get a Doesn't matter where you are.
It's not environmental. This is not environmental.
I don't know. Depression could bring upon usage.
Yeah, but you don't.
I mean, if you're playing it,
you don't understand.
Sending them somewhere else doesn't matter.
Here's something that happens every time we talk about depression. You don't understand what depression is. You really don't.
I'm not.
And I get these.
Depression's
the
wrong word. Depression's the wrong word. Being in a losing culture.
Fine, but
possibly, it's not depression. It's that if you are constantly in an environment where nothing's working, like if you're playing for the Browns and you never win, and it's a sad place to be, I can see how people are like, all right.
I don't think that has anything to do with this at all.
There's been
I don't know
thousands of people
about depression
for the Browns
or anything. I don't think that has anything to do with this player.
You could be
nothing.
You could be a multi-billionaire living on a private island and be depressed. James, go ahead.
As I said, depression's the wrong word.
All right, fine. But
good morning, guys.
But being within a losing organization.
Yeah, but that's not for. Years still.
Well,
has nothing
remember,
to do
two of those years are suspensions because of bad NFL rules.
I understand that, but you losing football games has not made people behave like this. James, go ahead.
Historically troubled players. How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Just wondering if you think the Antonio Callaway incident earlier in the preseason kind of shed some light as to how the Browns kind of handle their troubled players. I know Callaway's had a history in the past. And second quick point is why the Patriots, the Browns, mentioned wanting to ship him to the NFC and yet gave another pass for a fifth rounder. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on that, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I know the Patriots didn't give a sixth rounder because they didn't have one, but they didn't want to trade him in the conference. So obviously these other teams that were interested in Gordon weren't that interested.
I also think that there's something about the Patriots when they come calling. I think that the Cleveland Browns just freak out. I mean, we saw what happened. I keep thinking about how this deal went down. And if Bill Belichick really wanted to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to Cleveland back when the trade went down, how much he could have gotten from them?
Well, now this lends credence to he wanted to get him out of the conference so he wouldn't have to face him. I think he knew Garoppolo was going to be good, so he sent him to San Francisco for a much worse deal, apparently, than Cleveland was offering, because he didn't want to deal with Garoppolo once a year, or, I mean, God forbid he trades him in the division twice a year. He wanted nothing to do with him. But as far as something having to do with Cleveland and how they treat their players, I keep going back to this. This Gordon thing isn't a Cleveland thing. It's a problem he himself has to deal with. It has nothing to do with the Browns and nothing to do with the losing environment.
Of course it doesn't have anything to do with the Browns. I mean, please. The guy's barely played football. It means he's not playing in Bogota.
Just sending him here, it's not a magic wand. You tap him on the head, presto.
There's something
Pro
to be
Bowl
said about not wanting to go to work. Like, because your organization sucks. Because your work sucks.
All right, this is crazy. Maybe that's someone like Antonio Brown right now. But Antonio Brown's playing football.
Le'Veon Bell is not.
Le'Veon Bell's holding out for
Le'Veon
money.
Le'Veon Bell to this guy?
No, I'm not comparing it. But something about an organization.
You're saying to us that a person who's an addict.
No.
You're saying, but this is what it sounds like to me. You're saying a person that's a drug addict would be more likely to do drugs if they weren't happy on their football team.
I'm not saying that at all.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying that you could have an organization that's a bad organization that doesn't know how to handle or help out somebody like Josh Gordon, and then there's a good organization that may be better at doing so.
Okay, what are they going to do?
They can possibly give him a positive environment. They can have somebody like Matthew Slater or maybe many of these players who are positive influences help them.
What about
make
Joe
football
Thomas?
A priority?
Well, what if Joe Thomas is considered, he never missed a game. He's considered one of the great players in NFL history. I mean, they had guys on those teams.
Listen, the Browns are a failure organization. Everything about them is a loser organization.
So you're saying that he wouldn't have had problems with addiction if he was on the Patriots?
No, I've never said that. And you keep putting those words in my mouth.
John, what is he saying then? You explain it to me.
Honestly, Rich, that's what it sounds like you're saying. And I'm here to tell you.
I'm saying how much different can things go if you go into a quality organization as opposed to the number one loser organization?
Because it has nothing to do with the organization you play for. Gordon's problems are Gordon oriented. If he played for Philadelphia or Seattle or Minnesota or Green Bay, he would still have these problems. It doesn't matter what organization he plays for. That's what I think.
It has nothing to do with some of the people who surround him, that he can't have positive influences around him because of the organizational.
Fortunately, I have no trouble with.
So if you're saying if he has positive influences around him that he couldn't get in Cleveland that he won't do drugs.
Listen, if you are somebody who may be an addict or whatever, the more positive influences you have around her, the better, and the less case, the less chance that you will slide backwards.
How do we know
that's why AA is a thing? Because you have positive people around you that help you.
That's what you have. You have people that are fellow addicts that help you.
You have the right resources around you, but is Gordon ready to reach out and actually utilize them?
Now that's a good question.
My opinion is the answer is no.
How do we know Cleveland didn't have positive people?
Because we know that Cleveland's a loser organization. We don't know that, but I do know
because they
just
lost
how everything
games?
Is run horribly there.
Okay, so how? From Hard Knocks?
Yeah, I mean, that's one look into it.
So you think that they don't have the resources?
They also have one of the worst owners in sports.
Frank,
there's so many bad things about the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but that they're going to be worse at handling an addict than the Patriots are?
All I know is that
there's not positive people there?
All I know is that the Cleveland Browns could be a bad influence on a player because of they're bad at doing everything else. What makes me give any faith that they actually put positive people around him to help him out?
Because they did, and I think Bert Greer said that.
Did?
They tried their best to get his brother away from him. You played the clip. I think you're so mentally healthy that you don't have any idea how this stuff works.
We're all jealous, actually.
That's right.
We're very jealous.
JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey. I love this. I can't wait to see if he pulls a Chandler Jones. We better put Foxborough Rent the Police on notice in case he falls back. But I want the Patriots to go slap shot at the end. Bring all these old guys in. See what Vontae Davis is doing. Maybe he can come out of retirement and play for us.
Just have a collection of misfits is what you're saying.
Bring in the Hook, bring in the Chief, the Doctor. Let's do it. Pull them all out. What's Terrell doing? He thinks he could still play, but they need to make a move for Tate and get a real move in there.
And I'll make they're not comparisons because of their behavior is not any different, but it's not like they were a positive influence on Aaron Hernandez. I mean, I will say that. I mean, then what you know about how they handled Aaron Hernandez, I mean, Aaron Hernandez complained about the way the organization handled him. So there wasn't positive people to get out of that gang situation.
And you're right. That's a great point. They did an awful job with him. It's a great point.
And he wasn't an addict, for what I know.
And by the way, I just got a message from Rob Ninkovich, who makes a good point as well. He said that football players are not drug counselors, and they shouldn't be anyone's responsibility to watch over somebody. That is true. I mean, it's a strange position that they're in as well, and you would just hope that
Slater's going to solve the problem.
So why doesn't Ninkovich, if Ninkovich listens to the show, why doesn't he just come on?
He could.
I mean, please.
Give us a call if you're listening there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll have on our friend Will Brinson, and he can give us a man who covers the NFL for a living, his explanation of what he thinks is going on.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Every coach I know that has worked with him is rooting for him. He's not a bad guy. He's just wayward and unreliable, and there's a world of talent there, but there's very, very clear reasons why he hasn't been able to realize his potential. He can be very easily drawn in one direction or the other. Like, it comes down to even family with him, right? Like, he's got one brother who's a bad brother and one brother who's a good brother, and I know that sounds crazy, but there's one, like, the Browns at one point, like, tried to get his, you know, the brother that was a good influence on him to move to Cleveland to be around him. Like, they couldn't get rid of the bad brother.
Bad brother wouldn't leave.
I mean, it almost sounds like a cartoon, you know? They've been dealing with these circumstances.
He's got one on each shoulder.
They've been dealing with these circumstances for so long.
985 The Sports, so I can't stop thinking of Animal House. When he's in the bedroom with that girl.
Oh, and he's got the angel and the devil on his shoulder? Oh, yeah. Sure. That's always like a... For some reason, wasn't it Bugs Bunny who had that too? I believe it was. What cartoon character always had the angel?
It might have been a Bugs Bunny, but it was not Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was kind of always above that.
Okay.
He kind of, you know, he would dress.
Oh, it was Tom and Jerry. It was Tom and Jerry. That's
yes.
Who it was.
Okay. Yeah. So, because Bugs Bunny would just dress a scarecrow in a skirt, and Yosemite Sam would wildly hump it.
Haruga!
Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com, joins us every Tuesday during the NFL season. You can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. Mr. Brinson, hello.
What's up, guys? Nothing like a scarecrow humping introduction. It is amazing how like those cartoons just wouldn't fly in 2018.
Oh, like, they're so racist.
Well, yeah. That and like Bugs Bunny used to like smoke crazy amounts of cigarettes. I mean, like all of those cartoon characters did, they just wouldn't fly in 2018.
Well, look at the World War II stuff where they were like kind of propaganda, and the way that they depicted the Japanese, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, you
can't play that anymore. All right, so Mr. Brinson, everyone's got Josh Gordon fever. A lot of people are concerned about, you know, his backstory and how he basically hasn't played football over the course of his career. But a fifth-round pick doesn't seem like a lot. What is your, and he's not getting paid much money, what is the league's feeling on Josh Gordon?
Well, I mean, I think, look, here's what happens. If when Bill Belichick and the Patriots trade for Josh Gordon from the Browns for a fifth round pick, we all start oohing and eyeing and pointing out what a genius he is and how, oh, Belichick's done it again, hasn't he? He snared a prize for no cost. If the Browns had given up a fifth-round pick to get Josh Gordon from the Patriots, to be like, who does Cleveland think they are? They tried to trade for this, ne'er-do-well. I mean, it's just sort of how it works when you have a lot of success, right? The winners get to crow and whatnot. I mean, I think generally speaking, it is widely applauded as a smart move by the Patriots because they need help with the wide receiver position. Josh Gordon offers just an insane amount of upside in terms of his ability to play football, and it didn't cost anything, right? I mean, like, I know you guys quoted Animal House, but you remember, I think it was John Belushi once said, don't cost nothing. I mean, like, you know, when it's free, it's a lot easier to deal with the ramifications of something not working out. And, I mean, in my mind, I think I know we consistently point out, like, oh, Belichick with another reclamation project. I mean, it's seemingly kind of been a while since he had a great one. You know, Randy Moss and of course Corey Dillon were incredible, moves, genius football moves. But it's not like Albert Haynesworth and Ocherchenko and every single guy that he's brought in.
But
it works.
But Dillon and Moss aren't Josh Gordon. I'm playing devil's advocate. I have no problem with this move.
And there's nothing like this. Yeah. I can't think of an example you can use of someone who's been out this long.
Yeah, because like Dillon and Moss were kind of just like attitude problems.
But
and
they Haynesworth, played. They actually played.
This is pretty much unprecedented. I mean, I don't know. It's sort of gambling on the game, but. I mean, is it believed in league circles that this is a guy who's ready, you know, and has got control of his addictions and that he's ready to play?
No. I mean, I think there are still a lot of question marks about where this guy is both physically and mentally, not to mention where he's going to be in terms of getting on the same page as Tom Brady, getting buried in the playbook. I mean, it's not like maybe he goes out all of a sudden and just runs nine routes. I still think there are a lot of questions about Josh Gordon and his ability to, you know, I think it was Albert Breer talking on the lead
in.
Yeah. Like, you know, they might have concerns about his brother, but now you have concerns about him going to a new city and a new environment and, you know, taking the mental approach of a young man who hasn't been able to figure it out in Cleveland and to come to New England and Boston and just magically put it together in his personal life and in his professional life. I mean, those are the things that happen to human beings overnight. You don't flick a switch and go to a new city and just everything starts going well. So I don't think that people look at this move and the acquisition of Josh Gordon and say, all right, the Patriots are locked in with the number one wide receiver. I mean, I think people still have a lot of concerns about where he is physically, professionally, and personally.
Well, let's just talk about physically. Let's just concentrate on that, because let's say amazingly he shows up and he's locked in and he puts football first. I only got to see the overtime of that Steelers-Cleveland game, and of course the one highlight they show of beforehand is Josh Gordon catching a touchdown pass, but I believe that was the only pass that he caught. So I didn't get to watch the rest of it. How did he look during that game? Because right now that's about the only indication that we have right now of where he stands physically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard to say because you had a situation with bad weather and Tyrod Taylor. Like, they tried to throw deep to Josh Gordon at the end of regulation, and he badly underthrew it. So, you know, it's not like he was, you know, beat by a cornerback in that situation, you know, or covered by the cornerback. It was just a bad throw. I mean, the weather was so terrible. It was hard to run, but it didn't seem like, you know, Josh Gordon wasn't taking over that game, right? I mean, the Browns weren't feeding Josh Gordon in order to just beat the Steelers. You know, so I don't think that he is ready to come in and take over a game. I do think that in the Patriots' case, he could potentially be ready to come in and run a bunch of go routes,
yeah,
and stretch the field and create more space for Chris Hogan and create more space for Rob Gronkowski, because like Matt Patricia's no dummy. I mean, he worked with his defenses looked kind of dumb the first 2 weeks, but you know, he's no dummy. I mean, like he worked with Bill Belichick for a long time. He knows that in a best case scenario, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels will incorporate Josh McDaniels, and he's going to have to worry about Josh McDaniels, and it's going to open things up for other guys, even if he's just a decoy out there in the first week.
You called Josh Gordon Josh McDaniels twice, and just the visual of him running routes, I thought, was fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, like, Josh McDaniels will be planning for Josh Gordon.
Yes, yeah, of course.
The best is when he was yelling at the team, and he was basically yelling at their navels.
With that high-pitched voice, man.
Yes. Not very intimidating.
No, I wouldn't think so at all. All right, so we asked Phil Perry, who we have on the show a while back, everything you know about Josh Gordon and the Patriots, what percentage do you think chance that this will work?
I think in any other team, I would say like 9 to 11%. Since it's the Patriots, I will give them 12% for Tom Brady.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so no one's wildly optimistic about this.
Well, I think a lot of people are wild. I think a lot of people are optimistic. Like, I mean, this is not an example of, you know, someone. I mean, people. I think people are cautious around the league. That's how people are treating it, because it's not like Josh Gordon has had one bad situation. Josh Gordon has had lots of bad situations. You know, Josh Gordon spent an off season where he came down here to North Carolina hanging out with PJ Harrison and got arrested on Glenwood Avenue, which is like 5 miles from my house. What are you doing 5 miles from my house, Josh Gordon? it's one of those, you know, you've got friends, right? Trouble follows them. And it's at some point it's not trouble following them. It's not them having bad luck. It's them consistently making mistakes. And Josh Gordon has some personal demons. He's a really nice kid, but it would be a fool's gold to suggest that he is just. I mean, Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com had a great tweet. He's like, I love Bill Belichick as much as everybody, but I'd be foolish to think he has like a cure for addiction. That's sort of where it lies. Like, maybe Josh Gordon gets inside the Patriots program and loves using football as a way to distract himself from everything so much, and it's such a serious business in there that it actually works it out. But he shows up to the Patriots and he's not always on time, or he's not on time very much, and Bill Belichick isn't going to put up with it, and he's released in 3 weeks. I think anything's on the table here.
All right, just real quickly, I know Cleveland wanted to trade him out of the conference. How did the Patriots end up with him? Obviously, people were more cautious than they were.
Well, I think what Cleveland, we're going to release him, hoping to create some kind of bidding war, and then the bidding war ended up with the Patriots giving them a fifth-round pick. So, I think at that point, the Patriots were probably willing to pay the highest price of anybody, which is a fifth-round pick. Nobody's going to give up a third or fourth pick for Josh Gordon and have it burn them. You know, they're not going to do that.
How are you doing with the hurricane?
Well, you know what actually ended up happening? We ended up getting. Could you hear my son yelling at me? Hi, Robbie. We ended up getting like 2 inches of rain here somehow. It miraculously avoided us. An hour south, my mother-in-law, they have a river that's about to rise to 64 feet.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, right. It's crazy. And Wilmington is just flooded. Like, some of the pictures are just unbelievable. We left town and went to my parents' house to avoid any potential heavy rainfall that just never came. And while we were there, my dog got bit by a copperhead snake. So the hurricane's fine. Snake's bad.
All right. Well, let's look at you. You're a man of the wild. Will Brinson from CBS Sports.com. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. There is information, Rich, coming out about Donald Trump. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Is it the tape?
No, but it's closer to the tape.
We're getting closer to the tape.
And by inch, you might be getting a little bit.
I don't think it was that bad.
I don't know. The guy
was talking about his hands during the campaign.
The way it was described.
But the way it was described might be pleasurable for a woman.
There was an excerpt. Is this the excerpt from Stormy Daniels' book?
Yes.
All right.
Fair enough.
I think it's fair to discuss.
Okay.
At what point does this start really bothering you? Like, you're finding out so much. And there's so many people. And it's like the world. It's not even like, you know, Boston DJ his penis looks like this. It's like the world.
I can just see him getting so, like, wanting to prove everyone wrong.
Oh, he'll say something.
Then he takes a blank pic and shoots it out there on his Twitter.
No, he'll tweet something. Oh, I guarantee you he'll tweet something. Are you crazy? He got up during a debate and showed his hands.
Oh.
All right, so Stormy Daniels has details of what Donald Trump looks like naked.
Yeah. And so we're an inch closer to the pee tape. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Thatcher and Rich. Stormy Daniels is an ex-adult film star, even though you got to figure she's going to get back into it. Now's the time.
How old is the woman? Well, she actually has been going on tour. She was here in town.
Yeah, I thought. John, now with the MILF movement, there's really no retirement age.
She was in Salisbury, Mass.
She was in Salisbury.
She was at the Gentleman's Club in Salisbury about a week ago Friday, perhaps.
What is up? Was she kind of near where the Legionnaires was breaking out?
Yes, not far from that. Yes. Not far at all, Rich.
Yeah. All right, the paradise
same
that
water
is
supply.
Hampton Beach and Salisbury.
The
best news for female porn stars is, of course, the MILF movement.
Is there an expiration date on that?
There is not. I mean, there is. I've seen over 80.
Wow. So the MILFs can transfer, you know, kind of segue into GILF and then away we go. That kind of thing?
Yes. I mean, it's all depending on where you're willing to go as a consumer.
Sure.
Okay. Where your fantasies lie.
Right.
Now, there is a danger going into MILF territory on a free website because it could end up being a scenario that's absolutely troubling where you have to get out immediately.
Okay.
So I will tell you that. But right. Stormy Daniels, listen, it's all been proven that she did have sex with Donald Trump. Now, she has an autobiography coming out, which you got to figure that you could read it. I mean, it's not going to be like War and Peace. I mean, I figure it's got like big typeset. I mean, I read Bobby Blotzer from Rat's book. I think that's setting the bar fairly low.
Why do I think there's going to be like one chapter that's good and the rest of it's like, okay, so growing up, you always wanted to be a dancer.
No, it's growing up. She had a terrible childhood and then she started stripping while she was still in high school. I've read The Guardian's synopsis of the book. All right, so she's at this celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe where she and two colleagues greeted golfers between holes. There she first sees Trump. Quote, he had on a red cap, a Trump crest as a placeholder for the MAGA, MAGA.
Make America Great Again.
Yeah, I know. Slogan, but I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce the acronym. Slogan that not one of us could see coming. Trump's bodyguard invites Daniels to dinner, which turns out to be an invitation to Trump's penthouse, she writes, in a description of alleged events that Daniels has discussed previously, but which in the book are rendered with new and lurid detail. She describes Trump's manhood, and she compares it to a toadstool. Now, I cannot get any more descriptive than that.
Well, she does say that it looks like the toadstool character from Mario Kart.
It's me, Mario.
I mean, what? Of all the things to be compared to, the little guy who drives around in the cart with the, you know, who's a toadstool.
I'm no hero, but I know not to take, so I don't take pictures of myself. One thing of myself exists, and that is somewhere in my house of me with a girl in college. Not the best situation in the world. But can you imagine, you know how you embarrass yourself, and say it's even us, like you embarrass yourself in, like, you know, in Boston, it's like a big deal for a while. Can you imagine if you're
if like the world says that you look like someone from Mario Kart.
It's me, Mario. Hello.
Because you know the Photoshops are already coming out.
Oh, I would imagine that there have to be plenty.
But you're right. I mean, something about this, because then she goes on to say it's like the least impressive sex she ever had, but clearly he didn't share that opinion, so he's going to come out and say, it was the worst ever. I mean, I didn't have it, but it was the worst ever.
Well, I mean, he admitted to paying her.
Yeah, he did. So, but then again, you know, that story kind of went back and forth there for a while. I do know, however, that you're right. Something like this
is going to set him off. He's going to tweet about it.
Of course he will. He can't help himself.
Well, he'll tweet about the book because he'll call her like a lying liar or something like that.
And then he'll
sell more books. Like by doing that, he calls more attention to that. Everyone's going to pick it up. And what's going to be the big thing that's in the book is that you're a lot like Toadstool.
Yeah, I think that you're. I think that you are.
Or he's just going to have Photoshop photos of like him standing. It's going to be like the John Wallach pleat photo.
Well, the pleat photo looked uncomfortable. There are certain things that are described as Yeti.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Yes.
So
it's not very groomed. He wasn't a groomed man.
Yeah. Oh. So she described it as what, Ridge?
It's like a toadstool from Mario Kart.
Yes, yes, Mario. Hello.
Hello. Just walking into the Oval Office.
Hello. The baby.
Mr. Pence, it's a nice to see you.
Everywhere he walks, coins just start shooting out of his head.
That's right. He just hits all his wealth. That's how he garnered all his wealth.
Right.
He starts banging his head against the ceiling.
He walks up, punches a block, and everything just appears.
Right. It's like,
why are there all these turtles in the office?
This is when he turns the lights off. He starts walking.
Well, that's how he gets, like, he has these pipes that he just gets out and goes under.
Right. Or he logs onto Twitter in the morning.
Mr. Putin, it's good to see you. I'm hungry for the McDonald's.
You, Mr. Trump, have been impeached.
You still have me.
I didn't see him walking.
Mario!
Hey, look, it's time for him to go on vacation and take a swim.
That's in the bathtub?
Just like squirting water.
Wee, this is a good time in the bathtub.
Oh, no, it looks like one of those guys is going to flip and testify against you. Run! Run!
No, this is confusion during the tape making. All right. Ron, go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Hey, Ron, go ahead.
Hey, I want to talk about Sexy Pesci. My son used to go to high school with him. This kid would wear velour jumpsuits to school every day.
Sexy Pesci?
And on Fridays, my son used to tell me he would wear a suit going to school, and he would rap battle all the black kids on Fridays.
On Fridays, that was the special day to do it?
Yeah, yes, he's got a couple of raps. You should hear this kid. You should see him on his videos. He's pretty good.
All right. I have a feeling that you're not a dad of anyone that went to school with him. I have a feeling that you're him or a friend.
My name's Sexy Motherf***ing Pesci on Instagram.
Yeah, that was not a father of anybody.
As soon as
I said that, he bailed.
Right.
I think right.
Sounds like Sexy Pesci just called in.
It does sound like Sexy Pesci just called in.
Right, he's going to be big on Instagram.
And much really? Like in fifth grade, I used to dress, me and my friend used to dress as the Blues Brothers, to me, which still gives me great embarrassment. Sexy Pesci would wear velour suits, which I don't think you can get anymore.
No, I'm probably
bragging
not.
About that.
I mean, I have a series of sweatsuits. That's nobody's. I mean, they start getting broken out around November,
right?
And then around here they go forever. It goes like 6 months of sweatsuits, but I don't think you can get velour ones anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly you ever go down there to Ohio and start picking up the poo and start picking underneath it, they grow the hallucinogenic, what's it called?
Like, oh, that would be the,
It's me, Mario. Hello.
I wonder if he's ever taken a psycho hallucinogen and looked down and had a conversation with Mario.
Look, Fox News is on.
All right, well, that's up to you if you want to watch read the Stormy Daniels book. There seems to be a lot of, like, she kissed a Patrick Swayze poster. So, I mean.
Wow. That's amazing.
Because, like, the porn stuff would be interesting. Like, just the life of a porn star. But that, I have a feeling that that's not what it's going to be. All right. We'll be back. We can continue talking about Josh Gordon if you would like.
To Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I found myself around the city of Gainesville just wandering, looking for a drug dealer, looking for people on the street corner, whatever smelled like weed, you know, somebody that looked like they had something, asking random people, knocking on like smoke shop storefront, seeing where I could find some stuff at.
I was just looking for something, some type of relief. I was walking down 4 o'clock Boulevard around like 11:30 or something at nighttime. And that night in particular, I couldn't find anybody with drugs. And I just began to have a flashback and remember all the negative things that happened in my life that transpired. You know, like, what led up to this point? How did it get this bad? Like, it's so dark out here. I'm all alone. What the hell am I doing? I was scared. I was scared for my life.
And then just something clicked in my head at that point. It's like, man, you did it again. It's like you're willing to throw away everything you ever worked hard for, everything you ever had out of life. It was so strange, but I just had the desire to stop. I had the desire to get help, invest myself 100% into whatever was going to help save my life.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can listen to us on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home or in your office on your smart speaker. Just say play 98.5 The Sports Hub. A lot of talk today about Josh Gordon. John described him last night, much to the thrill of the people, as saying he had a 10-cent head. John does not like the move.
The one thing that is interesting, or I guess maybe I'm not reading between the lines as much as I should, but it does not sound like the event that was the final straw for Cleveland. It doesn't specifically say that it had anything to do with him being drunk or high. It sounds like he was
dishonest.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if there's any kind of hope, because before that, he was in rehab. If there's any kind of hope, because if he just did something ahead with like where he showed up drunk or something like that, then it's like, all right, well this is going to be really
pick your
difficult.
Poison,
well,
Rich. That's still not good.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that first of all, if he, and I'm not saying he was, but if he was drunk or on drugs, I'm certainly not telling anyone because I can't get anything for him at that point.
And by the way, the dishonesty,
you're still being
here,
dishonest.
No, hang on. So, okay, so here's what The Athletic reported yesterday. Okay, it says, now, according to The Athletic, the events leading up to Josh Gordon's trade are that Josh suffered a hamstring injury late Friday night after misleading the Browns and filming a promotional video in the team's indoor fieldhouse. Okay, so he filmed a promotional video. After Gordon reported to the facility Saturday morning late and injured, the Browns people said they would part ways with him. Gordon was granted permission by the Browns to conduct a photo shoot for his Flash clothing line Friday evening, but instead he was participating in the filming of what one source called a hype video intended to be released as a social media commercial. Hang on. So, really, what is the big difference between filming a photo shoot fashion commercial and one that is a hype video?
I don't think he was hurt. I mean, they came out after this trade that happened on a Monday.
They said he was hurt.
Yeah, he said he was hurt.
No. They said
and
they
yet was somehow, hurt. Mysteriously, 2 days later, no. He checked out well enough to
yes.
be traded.
No, it said the team's medical staff deemed Gordon unable to play in Sunday's game in New Orleans.
So the NFL checked him out 2 days later and deemed he was worthy of being traded? Not even two days later.
This is what's being reported. It was Saturday morning.
I know. We're questioning this. We're questioning this report.
So, yeah, so over the course of 24 hours, his hamstring healed.
Apparently, he's well enough to play this weekend.
Not 24 hours. It was yesterday. So it would be 48 hours. It would be between Monday and Saturday morning.
So you can't play Sunday, and the next day you're fine.
Once again, it's literally
24 hours.
Once again, this has nothing to do with what he said. This was the trainers for Cleveland saying he couldn't play. And then the physicians yesterday for the Patriots said he was fine. He passed his physical.
Right. So I'm saying that there's a good possibility that he told the trainers that he couldn't play, and then the trainers told the team that he couldn't play.
And by the way, once again, I'm just reading what The Athletic reported. The team's medical staff deemed him unable. So
everything else.
If you just take everything as written, it sounds like the dishonesty was that instead of a photo shoot, it was a hype video.
All right, you think he was really hurt?
The doctor said he was.
No.
So yes.
If I go to a doctor and I tell him that I'm hurt and the doctor reports that to the team, that means the doctor said he's deemed him not ready to play.
Now, the one question that you could ask is that did they deem him unable to play because of a hamstring injury, or is it because of something else?
Dishonesty. I mean, it's just the latest in a long line. Who knows what the breaking point is, but whatever it was, whatever happened Saturday was enough. And like everything else, whatever Gordon is into or whatever mysterious journey he's on, it's shrouded in mystery of he said, she said, and maybe this, maybe that. I mean, how can you expect anything out of this guy? Anything. And the Patriots have just taken this trouble on.
See, last straws are obviously, last straw is the last straw. So he was 10 minutes late that Saturday meeting, and that could have been the last straw. But as far as the anger that instead of doing a photo shoot, he did a hype video, that's ridiculous.
And I don't think that's what it was.
Well, that's, once again, this is the information that's available.
If I'm Cleveland, I'm not saying anything because I want to trade him. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not being upfront about what happened. The idea that his hamstring was hurt is complete BS. There's no way that it healed enough for him to be deemed healthy to trade 24 hours after the game he couldn't play in. That's BS. So if I'm Cleveland and I want to be able to trade him, I'm not telling anyone any information. You're holding a sign to nobody, by the way.
Oh, I thought he was back there. He's not back there. Okay, good.
Now he is.
All right. Let me hold the sign up again.
Well, then this is just a bad story that they came up with then. If this is Cleveland's story that they're running with, that's a bad story.
No, it's a good story because you just said that it wasn't a big deal. So that's what Cleveland wants. So that's a good story. That's about as best possible story as you can.
What is going on over there?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Not important.
There's like
has nothing to do with this. I'm trying to do it so we wouldn't ruin the flow of the show, but okay.
Okay.
John's got to take a dump.
Good job, John. Good way to not ruin the flow.
No kidding.
I scrambled to put on my glasses, and he's like, no big deal.
All right. We will, no commercials here, just the headlines, and then we'll talk to Sexy Petchy.
This is the home of the New England Patriots.
Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.